Fully this morning. I hope you're ready. I want to tell you about chapel service before we get started. There's a few rules. Everywhere you go, you have to have rules. Say amen. That's right. There's three rules to my chapel service. Number one, you will have fun. Say amen.
Amen.
I believe worshiping the Lord ought to be fun stuff. I think you ought to have a good time when you worship God. I think your heart ought to be lifted up. Sometimes your heart needs to be broken in worship, and that's good too. But that's fun, because you know God's working. So rule number one is have fun. Rule number two is no sleeping. Stand up, Adam. If I see you sleeping in my chapel service, I will personally come down off of this podium and drag you into the center of that aisle, and Adam will sit on you till you puke green stuff. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Rule number two is no sleeping. Rule number three is bring your Bible. If you got your Bible this morning, hold it up high. I want to see it. If you got your Bible, hold it high. I want to see it. That is wonderful. Counselors, you have done a good job. Put them down. If you didn't bring a Bible, we're going to get you one. Phil's going to get you a Bible, and we need to know that. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand so I can see it. If you don't have a Bible with you, raise your hand. I'm telling you, this is wonderful. I think this is the first time this has ever happened. We've all got Bibles. Well, praise the Lord. Bring your Bibles to church. Even if you can't read, you need to see the Word of God. It's great to have the Word of God in your hand in church. Always bring your Bible to church. And all God's people said, amen. All right, take those Bibles and open them with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. Every day I'm going to give you a truth from the Word of God, and I'm going to give you a story to illustrate that truth, and all of those stories are going to fit together till we get to Friday, and I'm going to tell you another story on Friday. But I want to teach you a principle this morning, and it's the first law of Genesis. Beginning in verse 9 of chapter 1, we see the third day of creation. It's the first law of Genesis God puts into place. He gives a principle right here. I want you to see this. Look at verse 9 of chapter 1. It says, I'm in chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day." Now let me give you the first law of Genesis. And this is a natural law. It's like the law of gravity. You can't change it. It will always be the same. As long as the earth is here, this law will be there. This says that God made everything to reproduce after its own kind in multiples. Say amen. Now, let me give you an illustration. Everything reproduces after its own kind. If you plant a watermelon seed, what do you get? Watermelons. That's wonderful. You get watermelons. If you plant a kernel of corn, what do you get? Corn. That's right. You can't plant corn and grow BBs. Amen? You can't plant watermelon seeds and grow donuts. Say amen. That's right. So everything reproduces after its own kind. However, everything reproduces after its own kind in multiples. If you plant one kernel of corn, what do you get? Not just corn. Somebody said, a lot of corn. That's right. You get a lot of corn. If you plant one kernel of corn, that kernel of corn produces a stalk. On the stalk are ears of corn. On the ears are lots of little corns. Amen. Say amen. Lots of little corns. multiples of corns. It's like that with everything. If you plant one watermelon seed, you get a vine that's got a bunch of watermelons on it, and in those watermelons, you've got hundreds of watermelon seeds. So everything reproduces after its own kind in multiples. People do that too. Adam and Eve were the first people on the earth. They reproduced after their own kind. They had a lot of kids, and 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 here you are, a bunch of you. So everything reproduces after its own kind in multiples. Now, that is not only true for the physical realm, but it's also true of the spiritual realm. Now I want you to go to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 6. And while you're turning there, remember last night that Phil told you that you were spirit. That you had a body, that it's flesh, and that's what you travel around the earth in. But you were created in the image of God, and you are spirit. So everything you do has a spiritual effect. I want you to see that this principle, this first law of Genesis, not only works in the physical realm, but it works in the spiritual realm also. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. Here we have the first law of Genesis repeated in the New Testament. Verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." He says, don't be fooled. God is not a liar. The laws of God work. Whatever you sow, if you plant, you're going to get the same stuff. Now notice what he says. "He that sows to his flesh," and that's temptation, that's evil deeds, "shall of the flesh reap corruption," or evil stuff. "But he that sows to the Spirit," and that's the Spirit of God, "shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now notice what he's saying. He says if you do the things of the flesh, the evil things, the things that you're tempted to do, if you do those kind of things, you will get evil things in return. But if you follow Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you love Jesus and you love God, and you do the things that He tells you to do, you follow Him, then He will not only give you everlasting life, but Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that more abundant." So you'll get good stuff. If you sow seeds of temptation, you will get evil stuff. If you sow good seeds, that's in Jesus Christ, you will get good stuff in return. Notice what he says next. The very next verse, he says in verse 9, "Knowing this," he says, "let us not be weary in well-doing." In other words, don't get tired of doing good stuff. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Notice he says due season. Once you plant a kernel of corn, the next day do you have corn? It takes a while, doesn't it? Whatever you plant, it takes a while for that to come up and grow and produce its fruit. So it says if we do good stuff, in due time we'll get good stuff back. Notice verse 10, it says, "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of those who are of the household of faith." Now, I want to give you an illustration of this principle of you reap what you sow. And you reap it in multiples. Have I ever told you about my little brother Gary? How many of you have heard about my little brother Gary? Bless your heart. Some of you haven't. When I was growing up, well, I still have. I've got a little brother. His name is Gary. I've got a little sister. Her name was Sherry. We were family, Johnny, Sherry, and Gary. Gary was dumb. I mean, he was bad dumb. Gary was dumb as a rock. He was the dumbest human being God ever placed on the face of the earth. God loves him. But he was dumb. When we were growing up, I could get Gary to do anything I wanted Gary to do. You know why? Yeah, he was dumb. He was dumb as a rock. He was so dumb. Well, when we were growing up, my mom, she collected stuff. She had all kinds of little trinkets in our house. You know, treasures that people had given her and things that she had gone out and bought. Some of them were little glass figurines and stuff like that. But she had them sitting all over the house. Now, in our house, you could do anything you wanted to do. You could play with anything you wanted to play except for these trinkets. Now, we called them doodads. I don't know what you call them, but we called them doodads. And the rule was that if you played with the doodads, you was going to die. That was it. Mama's going to beat you. You're going to die if you play with the doodads. You're not supposed to play with the doodads. That's the rule. But Gary was dumb. I mean, he was bad dumb. He was dumb as a rock. I could get Gary to do anything I wanted to do. So Mama, she would get off in the house, and she would be in the kitchen, you know, and doing her stuff, or in the bedroom cleaning up, or somewhere off in the house. And I would wait till she got really a long way away, and Gary, he'd be playing, you know, he'd just be in the floor, you know, boo, 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 you know. And I would say, Gary. He'd go, huh? I said, Gary, won't you play with the doodads? I said, yeah, Gary, get the doodads. Play with the doodads. That would be so much fun. He said,
Mama said if you play with the doodads, you don't get a whooping.
I say, no, Gary. Mama not going to whip you. She loves you. You the baby. He'd go, huh? Like a light came on in the dumb, you know, duh. Yeah.
He'd say, is that white?
I'd say, sure. Mama loves you. Mama didn't mean that. Now, she might whip me if I play with the doodad, and she might whip Sherry if she plays with the doodad. But Gary, you're the baby. You're special. Mama's not going to whip you. And you know, that's exactly what Satan did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. You know the story in the Bible. God created Adam and Eve and put it right in the middle of paradise in the Garden of Eden. And Eve's out there one day and she's just messing around in the garden. She's blonde. And she's going, and Satan comes up. He says, hey Eve, what you doing? And the Bible says that she's not afraid of him. And he's in the form of a serpent and he's subtle. And he talks to her somehow. I don't know how that happened, but he did. And he says, Eve, what you doing? She says, oh, I'm just bebopping in the garden, you know. She's blonde. And Satan said, hey, you got it made out here. She said, that's right. He said, can you eat of anything in the garden? She said, yeah, we can eat all the bananas and coconuts and grapes and stuff and figs and stuff, and it's wonderful. He said, can you eat of anything? She said, well, there's a tree. One tree in the middle of the garden, and we can't eat of that, because if we eat, we'll die. Satan said this, you'll die. She said, God said if we eat of that tree, we'll die. You know what Satan said? He said, you shall not surely die. God loves you, and he knows that if you eat of that tree, that you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be a God like him, and he doesn't want that. Eat of the fruit. You know what she did? She ate. You know what Gary did? I said, Gary, Mama loves you. He said, I know. I said, play with the doodad. She won't give you a whipping. You know what Gary did? He started thinking about it.
I am special. Mama does love me.
And he got the doodads down and he started playing with them.
Yeah, we're playing with the doodads. La, 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 la.
And nothing was happening. He wasn't getting a whipping. Yet. Now, Gary was so dumb that when he played with stuff, he would just get out in his own world. Just, you know, he was weird. And he wouldn't know anything else was going on in the whole world besides what he was doing. And so when he got caught all up playing with them doodads, he'd been to the floor going, bubble, you play with the doodads, la, 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 la. When he would get like that, you know what I'd do?
Mama! Gary's in here playing with the doodads. Come in here and kill him.
Now, mamas are wonderful creatures, but they're strange. They love it when you get in trouble. Have you ever noticed that? They say they don't, but they got to like it. Mama finds out you're in trouble, and she's got this sixth sense. Somehow she knows exactly what you're doing. She comes bursting in the room like she's the savior of the world or something. She comes in like, aha! Batman! Gary is so caught up in what he's doing, he's still doing it.
Playing with the doodads.
And Mama's sitting there. And then you know what she does? She calls him by all three of his names. Do you know that's why your mama named you three names? You don't need three names. All you need is two names. Did you know that? You signed your name somewhere. You signed your first name and your last name. Sometimes you put your middle initial. Your mama named you three names so that you'd know when you was fixing to die. Because when your mama calls you by all three of your names, you know you're going to die. Amen? She come in and she said, Gary Wayne, where? Gary goes, uh-oh. He just looks at her. And she says, Gary Wayne, where? Have I not told you not to play with them doodads? He looks at me and he knows better to say anything that I've tempted him, or, you know, because he knows that I'll kill him if she don't. So he just looks at her, he goes, uh-oh. Now here's what happens to mamas, and you know this is great. And my mama's gone to be with the Lord, and I just love her, and I can't wait to see her again. But boy, mamas, when they get excited and they get mad and you're fixing to get it, their brain and their mouth become disconnected. Have you ever noticed that? And there's no way that they're actually saying the things that they're actually thinking, because that can't work. And they start saying crazy stuff. My mama used to say stuff like this. Young man, do you think I tell you stuff just so I can hear my head ring? I used to think, I never said this, but I used to think, Mama, does your head ring when you talk? You need to get that checked. And they say crazy stuff. And then they tell you all the things that they've been through for you. You remember that, don't you? Me and your father work our fingers to the bone around here. We do all this. I almost died bringing you into this world. You ever hear that? And then, the more they think about that and the more they talk, remember their mouth and their mind are disconnected and their mouth just doing. They get all caught up in that and they go into a tirade that ends with your destruction. It goes like this. Young man, I've worked my fingers to the bone. I try to get you to do one thing for me and you don't do it. And then I just, and then while I go, and I go off in another room and I'm trying to trust you. I can't even trust you for 1 minute. And then when you couldn't get out there, that much woman. And then you get, and I get me and your father, and actually we could have not had no kids. And then when you go, and then when you want to get things, and you do, and I do dads, and much, and then when you, and you're gonna die. Your mama does that. And Gary.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm doing all this? While all this is going on, I'm just back over here going. Now, I don't know how your mama does it, but my mama used to make us go outside and choose the weapon of our own destruction. She would say, boy, you go outside and get me a hickory off that bush, and it better be a big one, it better be a long one, and it better be a stinging one, and when you come back in here, if it's not, and you better come back in there with a hickory. I mean, she didn't want, you better not go out there and get a twig about that long. You better come in with a piece of stove wood, you know. And you knew if you didn't, you was going to get killed twice. Now, what is your natural reaction when someone is coming at you with a weapon of destruction? You run! God knows that. So He gave your mother an elastic arm. You can't get away. She comes at you with whatever she's got, and you start running. No good. She just reach out and grab you. Gotcha. And it doesn't matter how far you run, because her arm will get you. You be running, you be two blocks down the street. Your friends say, look out, here comes your mama's arm. Now, if you did these things in the summertime, chances were better than not that you had short pants on. And your mama would start strapping your legs. But in the wintertime, you had long pants on. And your mama wanted to get the skin. And she would take our pants and pull them down around our ankles. You'd be trying to run like this. And she'd be start strapping you with that hickory down here. And she'd be working her way up to the forbidden zone, you know. And you'd be trying to run. No good. Mama's got you. She's got your arm in this hand, and she's got a hickory in this hand, and this is what God, you check your mama's foot sometime. She's got a ball on her foot, and all she does is when you start running, she kind of lifts this foot up, and she raises up on that ball, she holds you with that arm, she starts beating you with that hickory, and it don't matter where you run, you do this. Now, when you get hurt, and you get hurt bad, especially a whipping, and your feelings are hurt too, what is your natural reaction then? Yeah, well, some of you do. I cry. Some of you said, I cry. The guy said, oh, we don't cry. They lied. They cry too. You cry. Your mama's mind and your mama's mouth is still disconnected. You know what she says? You better not cry. She said, you better stop that crying. I'm going to whip you again. You ain't got a chance. Have you ever tried to stop crying? If you try to stop crying, do you know what happens? You get the snubs. You know what the snubs are? Yeah, you do. Show me. Those of you, you know? Yeah, yeah. And the more you try to stop snubbing, the more you snub. You ever notice that? You can't. The snubs are like the flu. You got it, you got it. You know? And you be snubbing. Snot be running everywhere. You know, you be biting. And you know what she's saying? She's saying, if you don't quit that snubbing, I'm going to wear you out, boy. And you go, and you almost die. And she puts you in that chair on that sofa and she says, young man, don't you make another sound all day, and when your daddy comes home, he's going to kill you again. This went on throughout my whole childhood with Gary. You know why? He was dumb. Well, we're kind of dumb too, because all through our lives, Satan can get us to do dumb things. Say amen. Well, this went on through our whole childhood until the night of Gary's revenge. When I was about 15 years old, I started running around with some guys that were older than me. Several of them were in high school. One of them had graduated high school. And I would sneak out of the house at night, and I'd go with them, and we would go drinking, partying and stuff, getting in trouble. My parents would go to bed about 11:30, and I'd wait for about 30 minutes when they were good and asleep, and I would slip out the window, and I would go party with my friends. I wish I'd never done that. Gary and I slept in the same room. We had little twin beds, and above each bed there was a window. And so what would happen in the summertime, the windows would be up and just the screen there. And so mom and dad would go to bed, and Gary, he would, you know, be going. He'd be sound asleep. I would take my clothes and throw them out the window so I wouldn't wake him up, put my clothes on. And my friends, they would come out to the road, and they would park on the side of the road. And when I would see them out there, I would sneak out of the house. And I threw my clothes out the window, you know, one night that we made it up, they would come by, and I threw my clothes out the window, and Gary's asleep. Mom and Dad, they're in the bed asleep. I threw my clothes out the window, and all I had on was my little underwear. I was so cute. And I started out the window. And I started slithering down the wall. Now, the window was about this high on me. When my foot touched the ground, I stepped right in a yellow jacket's nest. I didn't realize what was going on at first. I knew something was pricking my foot. And then all of a sudden they started pricking a little higher. And I was being stung on the bottom of my, and I was trying to get back in the window, but my arms were like this, and I couldn't get, you know, and I was afraid to put that foot on down in there to push me in because it would go down in there, and I was getting stung, and Gary was my only hope. And so I was hanging in the window, and I couldn't get, and I was going, Gary, Gary, pss, 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 Gary, wake up, pss, Gary, pss, wake up, pss, pss, Gary, went, holy God. I said, Gary, man, help me get in the window. I fell out the window, Gary. I fell out, and I can't, and I'm getting stung all over my body. It just happened, it's hurting bad, it's being.
Gary said, what you doing, Johnny?
I said, Gary, I'm getting stung all over my body. I said, get help, I'm going to die here.
He said, bees are stinging you on your body, Johnny?
And they were working their way up. And I said, Gary, please help me. Just get me in the window, Gary. I'm going to die. I said, bees are stinging me.
Gary said, you can't get in the window, Johnny?
I said, Gary, help me in here, and then I'm going to kill you. Gary, help me get in that window.
He said, there's no way you can get in the window, Johnny.
I said, Gary, I'm going to kill you. Gary reaches up, my arm's in the window. He grabs the window and goes, then he goes,
Mama, Johnny's trying to sneak out of the house. He fell out the window. Come and kill him.
After the beating, they took me to the hospital. I had been stung from my feet all the way up to the forbidden zone, you know. I had never been so sick in my whole life. You know what Gary did? I never messed with Gary after that. But let me tell you something. You do reap what you sow. If you sow good seeds, if you sow to good works, Jesus will honor those good works and He will bring you much good. He will reward you in many wonderful, wonderful ways. But if you sow the wrong kinds of seeds, old Satan, the old devil, he'll bring you evil stuff. And you won't like what you get in return. The best thing to do all your life is to love Jesus and follow Him. And sow the seeds that He can honor and produce fruit to your good. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You and we praise You and we thank You today. And I just thank You, Lord, for Gary. I just thank You, Lord, for my childhood and all the fun that we had. And I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true. I thank You, Father, that if we will just follow Your Word, if we will follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior in all things, that He will come into our heart and cleanse us of our sins, and He will work all the bad that we've sowed so far to good in our lives if we just give our lives to Jesus. Lord, I ask You today to work in our hearts this week, to give us all we need to be the people You've called us to be, and help us to sow good seeds and to do good to all men wherever we go. For I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.